Welcome, folks, to the first inaugural podcast of the Take Command podcast, covering all things Commanders. I'm your host, co-host, Jonah Hampton, here with my boy.
My bad. I'm Nate Estrada. Been Commanders fans, our Redskins fans.
The Redskins, Commanders.
Our whole life. I ain't gonna lie, my first year of actually watching was RG3's rookie year. My parents got me into Redskins, Washington football. You know, my dad's a Cowboys fan. But
crazy work.
As I've gotten older, been paying more attention. We also are both like journalism communications type of students. So, you know, this podcast is going to be us talking as fans and also taking that journalism professional sort of approach. And we will be biased at times.
Absolutely.
I like to be unbiased, but no. Because we have Jaden Daniels, we can now be biased.
Jaden Daniels, that man.
So, going forward, yeah, expect a lot of bias. But episode number one today, go over the itinerary we got for today.
So today we're going to talk about post-draft recaps, our favorite players, how we think they're going to perform during the season, new stadium talk, and as of today, well, not yet, but the full schedule is supposed to release into 9 at 8 p.m. But we do have some games on the schedule that have been released already. So we'll talk about what we think about those matchups and as well as a record prediction for the season.
Yeah, today's May 14th. We're recording on May 14th for context. So,
yeah.
Let's go and talk about the draft and all that. So I have the draft picks pulled up right here. First pick, Josh Connerly. Offensive tackle from Oregon.
Man.
See, when I was watching, I was mad. Who's this guy? Because, like, looking at the roster, we covered receiver. Even in the draft, we covered receiver. We covered running back is kind of covered. Quarterback obviously is covered. O-line, I didn't think we would address tackle. I was thinking we got Brandon Coleman. And they extended Andrew Wiley. So I was like, okay, they're going to roll with developing Andrew Wiley. But I mean, developing Brandon Coleman. And for some reason, keep Andrew Wiley, even though I'm not very fond of him. But that's what I was saying. So I was thinking O-line is covered. And then, if anything, I was thinking we pick a guard because Sam caused me towards ACL. But then, yeah, so. But the other positions are I thought were full. But Cliff Kingsbury said, nah, let's take this dude. So honestly, I didn't like it at first, but off of last season, I got to trust Adam Peters, got to trust Cliff, got to trust Dan Quinn. And they had
and the Laremy Tunsil trade.
Oh, I forgot about Laremy Tunsil. Oh, yeah. My gosh. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't think we were going to go tackle because we had Laremy Tunsil, Brandon Coleman, Andrew Wiley. So I'm like, what are we doing? Why are we drafting another tackle?
I think Peters' plan or Cliff Kingsbury's plan was maybe to move Coleman to guard. And then maybe have, you know, Tunsil and then Connerly. You know, I watched a lot of Big Ten football. So I was familiar with Josh Connerly. Like, you know, they call him the Abdul Carter shutdown. But bro is really like that. Like, I was initially, like, not too fond of the pick because I thought we would go more, towards a skill position. Something like I seen a lot of mock drafts where we're taking Trevion Henderson. And I thought that would have been a great fit for this team. You know, I love B-Rob. Didn't really like Austin Ekeler last year. I think he gave up the ball too much. But he, even when he was on the field, when he was performing, you know, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know, B-Rob, I don't think he can be the bell cow that we need at the moment. So I felt like getting Trevion Henderson, having that 1-2 combination in the backfield would have been great for the offense, would have relieved some of the pressure on Jaden Daniels. But I do like, the more I've like sat with the pick with Josh Connerly, watched some of the tape, I mean, dude's a monster. Like, he's, I think he probably is the best tackle in the nation. Maybe not as refined as some of the other prospects, but just purely from solely watching his tape and performing in, I would say, the second best conference in college football, like, he's definitely up there.
Yeah, I think – I don't remember what the stat was. I'm pretty sure Oregon only gave up either 5 or 10 sacks on the season.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, you got one of the best O-lines in the nation, so, okay, I'll let it sit. And we're going to talk about running back a little bit later, too, because that's a little deep. But number two, we go Trey Amos.
Steal.
See – oh, absolute steal.
Steal.
First round grade. Here's my thing, though, like – We got Marshawn, we got Mike, just picked up Jonathan Jones. I feel like we signed somebody else.
Will Harris,
he's a safety though.
Oh, you just talking about corners?
Yeah. DBs in general though. Yeah, Will Harris too. I think Will Harris lined up in the slot a little bit.
Yeah.
See, the thing I'm questioning here is obviously Marshawn's gonna be on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I kind of like him on the outside. I don't know how I feel about him. Because I don't think they throw Trey in the slot. I mean, I don't know.
Mike could play anywhere. Like
Mike could play anywhere, but I just feel like he was cool as a boundary corner. But either way, Trey Amos has a steal. And the DB room in general, you look at the DB room last year.
Deep.
You're talking about we had Emmanuel Forbes, Benjamin St. Juice. I can't even name anybody after that. Mike. Boom, trade for Marshawn, Mike, who was a rookie and balled out in the game against the Lions. Of course, against the Eagles, he folded, but it's the Eagles. Who else can guard the Eagles? Mike looks nice. Marshawn, we're not going to talk about what he did because he was injured and rusty and new to the system. So, bounce back season. But Trey Amos, absolute steal.
Man, I love this pick. Trey Amos, I had a chance to watch him a few times when I got a chance to watch some SEC games and then even going back and watching the tape. Bro's a dog. And, like, initially, I thought, you know, Will Johnson was falling in the first round. So, I'm thinking, wow, man, we about to get Will Johnson because I'm a huge Michigan fan. I've watched every single Michigan game. I know Bro is a shutdown corner. But, you know, when we drafted Josh Connerly and then second round we drafted Trey Amos, I was like, okay, all right. AP's cooking.
AP know what you're doing.
AP is cooking. So, you know, Amos is still, I think, we'll probably have Marshawn as the primary number one, and then maybe let Trey Amos play on the other side and have Mikey in the slot, or Mikey could play on the outside. They can flip-flop, honestly. I think they're both super versatile. But even watching Burn College, like, Amos, lockdown. So, I love this pick.
Yeah. See, as I was doing, like, mock drafts going forward, I mean, before the draft, like, here's my issue with the draft at this point. Between number 29 and number 61, after that, you don't got picked to 128.
Yeah.
So, I wanted was a trade back. And I'm sure Adam Peters had calls for trade backs or even made calls. But overall, we still get to round four. And we get my favorite pick of the draft because I go to Virginia Tech. And while I hate the team because it – wait.
Dude, whoa.
My bad, bro.
Whoa.
My bad. Okay, the team didn't perform well last year. But I am very aware that their offensive skill positions are great. Jalen Lane, the third pick of our draft. DeSean Jackson reincarnated is what I'm calling him.
DeSean Jackson reincarnated.
Okay, here's the thing. I know for sure, because Adam Peters, when he made the call, he's like, you are our top return guy. So, for one, that tells me we got a return guy because we didn't re-sign Jameson Crowder, and we needed a good return guy. And as I've been to Virginia Tech football games and watched them, he is great at returning punts. There's another – Bashaw Tuin's a running back at Virginia Tech that just got drafted to the Jags, and he was somebody that I wanted to. He was also good at returning kicks, but Jalen Lane handled punts, and he has that speed to take the top off the defense. So even if he is used on offense outside of special teams, it was a great pick. And I was just telling him before we were watching, if it were for better offensive play at Virginia Tech, all the receivers would have been top five-round draft picks. So we get Jalen Lane at four. Honestly, I didn't think we needed to address receiver that much after getting Debo, but you can never have too many weapons.
Yeah.
And we just lost De'Ami Brown, our speed threat. So we replaced him at a much cheaper price because we're not paying De'Ami Brown $12 million for like three touchdowns total.
Yeah, Jalen Lane, dog. Super fast, super dynamic. Like Nate said, always getting more depth in the receiver room is never a problem. So now the receiver room is looking like Terry, Debo, Noah Brown, Jalen Lane, just giving Daniels as many weapons as he needs. I was kind of indifferent with this pick. I do feel like we should have addressed the running back room, which we did in the later rounds. But Jalen Lane, still very dynamic, versatile guy. Can't wait to see how Cliff uses him in the offense and on special teams.
All right, so going to the next pick. No trades in the draft, so we're rolling with the original picks. We go to pick number 205. It's also, honestly, another steal. I'm not even gonna try to pronounce your name. Linebacker from UCLA. Kane Medrano, yeah.
Kane Medrano.
See, linebacker, underrated position that we have not addressed. Yeah. Here's my issue with the whole draft, though. We didn't address edge.
Yeah, we didn't.
See, I'm going to trust that Adam Peters is going to handle that with the remaining free agents or trade for Trey Hendrickson. Neither of those I'm not opposed to, as long as it's not Von Miller. But
what's wrong with Von Miller?
His legal issues, that's what.
Legal issues?
Yeah.
Right.
But linebacker, we got Bobby back. However, he's like the only box linebacker that we had. Like Frankie Louvu was up there playing some zone coverage, but
edge.
He's like the Micah Parsons of our team. He's the blitzer, spy, run stopper. He can do it all as a linebacker. But pass coverage is just his weakest link. And Bobby Wagner isn't necessarily the greatest pass coverage linebacker at this age either.
No.
But he did do his job with stopping the run. He did command the defense, and that's huge. However, we need a pass coverage linebacker in the box. Somebody can cover tight ends and running backs. So after watching his film, Kane McDonald's film, we got a good pass coverage linebacker. Just what we needed. We didn't need anybody to necessarily stop the run. I mean, it can always help, but we got those pieces and we needed somebody that could play pass coverage, and here we go, Kane Medrano.
Yeah, super versatile guy. We did need help in that linebacker room. Medrano was a dog at UCLA. Can't wait to see what he brings to the team.
And last pick, Jacoby Crosby-Merritt, running back. And I agree, we should have addressed it a little bit earlier, but going back to what we talked about, the running back room, B-Rob, there are just some issues, health issues, fumble issues. He also was pretty inconsistent.
Yeah.
Like against the Giants, the first Giants game, he went off like 130 yards. Then I really don't remember the next 100 yard game. It's probably against the Titans.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, he's good for like, you know, your little three yard line, 1 yard line touchdown at the goal line. But you also got Jaden Daniels who would just take a little zone read.
Yeah.
So it's not that big of a, like, he did his job. He can do his job. But as a running back one, I don't think we've addressed that yet. Austin Ekeler, like you said, he had some issues, fumbled way too much. He had like 2 or 3 concussions last year. He's probably going to get, unfortunately, he's bound for more.
Yeah.
And those don't do well. But with Austin Ekeler, I think he was only on a 2-year, $11 million deal. So this will be his last year. So
cheap contract.
I'm not opposed to keeping him. And he was cool on kick returns.
No.
He was cool. He was cool with the, what's it called? In the pass game.
Oh, pass blocking?
Pass block. Burn. Even the passes. Yeah. Like, even when he caught passes, like, solid. The fumbles are like.
That was my biggest thing with Austin Ekeler was, bro could hold on to the football. Like, he would, 1 second he would have a nice 30-yard run. Next play, he's putting the ball on the ground. I was so upset watching the NFC Championship when bro fumbled. I don't think he fumbled twice, but I know he had at least one fumble in that game. And it was just like a consistent theme throughout the entire season of him just not being able to hold on to the ball. And I don't know if that comes with age, but you know, he's not the same player he was when he was on the Chargers, but he still brought a spark to the running back room, I believe.
Yeah.
But I think he has less days ahead of him than he does, however the saying goes. getting Crosby-Merritt, I think he's a, not potential, but he is a home run hitter. He can provide a much needed spark in the back, in the running back room. Just adding another spark. So, you know, just building on all areas in the offense, I think, is what Adam Peters was really trying to do in this draft, which I'm not opposed to. Getting Jaden Daniels as much help as possible should always be the main goal. But I do feel like, to a degree, you know, I don't want Jaden Daniels to always be Superman, but, you know, he was the reason why we reached the NFC Championship game last year. And if we had maybe, like, you know, a halfway better defense, you know, not saying we beat Philly, but Philly wouldn't put up 55 points against us. Like, I believe if we
scratch off those last 14 points, that was garbage.
Still, 55 in an NFC Championship game is insane. But, you know, I do feel like we did have a very good draft. I would have wished Adam Peters maybe would have gotten 1 or 2 more defensive players. But building the offense, will never be like, especially getting pass protection. Josh Connerly with that first pick again, and then the trade for Laremy Tunsil, which wasn't included in the draft, but
that's huge.
Yeah, pre-draft trade, it's huge. So yeah. I mean, I don't see this offense slowing down in production in any way. Everybody's saying Jaden Daniels got a sophomore slump. I don't see that. I don't think
sleeping on Debo.
Yeah, and we have Debo now. Like
sleeping on Debo,
and we have Laremy. The offense, I think, will have maybe a top 10 O-line this year. There's no way Jaden Daniels has a sophomore slump. I can see the defense being more or less the same because, again, I mean, the secondary is better than it was last year, but that front seven I'm still very, very concerned about now that we lost Jonathan Allen. And we still didn't draft anybody significant on the edge. We're losing Dante Fowler. We still have Dedrick Wise and a bunch of other guys, but I do feel like, you know, that's my main concern about this team. How are they going to perform going into the season?
Yeah. Last thing about the draft, at least a running back pick. Ever since we had Adrian Peterson, we haven't had a running back one. We've had a running back room by committee. And it's worked, but you want that, like, reliable guy.
And give?
You want that reliable guy. You need that guy that's like, you know, when the pass game ain't working, can I trust this guy to get us 5 yards a pop? Not even five, maybe 3 or 4. And you could maybe look at the O-line and say maybe the pass blocking was the issue, but, you know, we just need a good running back one. But running back committee, it's got us an NFC championship, and, you know, adding somebody young, fresh out of college, that never hurts you when it comes to running back and even receivers. So, overall, pretty good draft. Maybe slept on in the future, but, I mean, maybe slept on now, but better in the future. So, all we can do is predict, and we'll see how it goes. So like I said, we've been longtime Commanders fans, Redskins fans, meaning we've been in that interesting stadium called FedEx Field, Commanders Field, Northwest Stadium, whatever you want to call it.
We call it called Commanders for that point.
Yeah, for like 2 seconds.
That's crazy.
We're going to call it FedEx Field. For the sake of journalism, let's call it Northwest. Northwest Stadium, not the best.
It's an abysmal
certainly
piece of...
Certainly one of the worst.
Yeah.
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 But, and with the new...
Look, I ain't gonna lie, Jaden Daniels, you know, he kind of gave that place a little aura now, like,
man.
Just a little, I mean.
Just a little bit, though. The price is still a little crazy when it comes to food and parking and all that.
That Hail Mary made
man, that Hail Mary
saved that stadium a little bit.
They still got the broken pipes and everything, but.
Yeah, no, that's a piece of it. You
work. Know, a little bit of winning culture brings a little bit more aura to the stadium, but. New stadium in D.C. has been announced, at least handshaking on, details being worked out, but Mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, and what? Never mind.
The Senate, I don't know, some bill was passed, and now Commanders will be moving back to D.C. by, at least as of right now, by 2030 at the old RFK site. I've been a huge proponent of the Commanders moving back to D.C., especially in the RFK Stadium, because I just think that area is perfect. There's public transit right there. There probably won't be as much parking anymore, so that means less room for tailgating. But, I mean, man. I feel like they're about to build up that area, make it kind of like what they're trying to do with the Browns' new stadium that they're building, trying to make it like a whole district, bring new jobs and all that. And that's just a pipe dream that they sell people to incentivize them to for the stadium to justify it being built there. But I believe we're the Washington Commanders. Why are we playing in PG County? But, I mean, I'm overly excited for this. It's been a long time coming, still a long time coming. We're still, 5 years out from it actually happening, if it happens. But, I mean, it looks like it's set in stone right now, so I can't wait to see. There's been a bunch of renderings online of what the stadium's going to look like. I don't think they have a final look on what the stadium's actually going to look like, but I'm overly excited. I can't wait to go to D.C. to watch the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, let's get rid of the old stadium, dog. I don't got no good memories in there. Let's get it out. One thing I'll note is, in my sports journalism class, we were discussing the stadium purchase, and the pricing breakdown was like 25% of the stadium's funded by D.C. taxpayers. And at first, I thought that was ridiculous. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But that's one of the. That's probably the lowest portion that taxpayers will be paying in comparison to other stadiums. I think my professor said the SoFi Stadium was actually fully funded by an ownership group, but there was like 40% that was paid by LA taxpayers. So if anything, DC has it somewhat good. I still think it's like, now that it's happened to us, like the pricing is just like coming to us. So like, we don't live in D.C., we're not paying that money, but it is right next door, and I don't plan on living in D.C. anytime soon, but it's just kind of crazy to me that, like, now that's happening, I'm seeing that taxpayers have to pay for a new stadium, and there's people protesting that, too, and I can understand where they're coming from. I guess that's just life.
Yeah, like, I've seen a bunch of people protesting, One of the main arguments for the protest was that they want to use that area to build new affordable housing, which I completely empathize with and totally agree with. There's no real good caveat to that, but I building the stadium right there, I mean, that's where it used to be. I mean, I think at RFK, those were like the glory years of the Washington franchise, you know.
Yep.
Speaking back to like Doug Williams, Joe Theismann, they said that back then, like, the fans used to be so rowdy, so loud that the stadium used to shake.
I need that.
Like a college-type atmosphere. And I don't think...
Man.
I think when FedEx first opened, I mean, I think the attendance was kind of good, like, especially back in those RG3 days, like, the attendance, at least for the home fans, like, you know, we used to kind of pack it out. And then, you know, FedEx slowly started getting rid of seats. The team kind of went downhill. And me and you speak on this, like, it's at least since, like, 2018. Like, any home game, no matter how good we are, like, it's always at least 50% of the other team in attendance. Yeah,
post-Alex Smith.
Post-Alex Smith. Even when Alex Smith was there, like, man, the Falcons game we went to, like.
Yeah, it was a lot of them.
Man. Like, boy, no, even them Eagle games. And
man, when we start getting our fans in there, so you know we up.
Man.
So you know we back up. That's the one last thing we got to do, outsell Philly and Dallas.
Man, especially Philly. I don't like those.
Birds. Got to smoke with them. All right, wrapping it up, last part of the podcast for today. We're going to go the record prediction. So far, we've gotten confirmation that the Commanders will play the Dolphins in Madrid, the inaugural NFL game in Spain on November 16th at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time.
That's the inaugural game in Spain?
Yep.
Oh, tight.
We got Philly on December 20th at home, and then 5 days later, we got Dallas at home on Christmas.
Crazy stretch.
And then we close the season out. Well, according to leaks that we saw, we open against New York. Then
I've seen New York and Chicago. I don't know who it is.
And I don't care who it is. There's smoke anywhere. I think we close against the Giants too, according to leaks. But right now, we're going to go with what we have confirmed. Dallas, Miami, Philly. But overall, we already know the opponents. Schedule be released 8 p.m. May 14th.
Start with that Miami game in Madrid.
Yeah.
I think international games are always kind of tricky because it depends on where you're playing, who you're playing the week before, then all the travel. Yeah. Like, I never like to say those international games are just a concrete win, and then I don't know who Miami's going to be playing before that, how Miami's going to look this year. Is Tua going to come back to his, I think, sophomore form? Is Tyreek going to be good? You know, it's a lot of questions with the Dolphins, but I'm gonna pick my guys. Always.
Of course.
I think I'm not gonna say it's gonna be an easy game. Those international games are always pretty tricky. I think the last time we was overseas was that Bengals game back in 2016. Ended in a tie. I don't know why I remember that game so vividly, but
the good days.
Yeah. Back when I think it was Kirk starring for us. It was a weird game. So those international games are always very tricky. But I do think we should be able to handle business.
Yep.
Against the Dolphins, I don't think they're going to be world killers this year. I do think they'll be a very competitive team, especially you know Mike McDaniel's an offensive mastermind. He still got Tua. He still got Tyreek. So I mean. Anything's possible.
Yep. I'll go and say with the division games.
I think we split with every team.
I think we sweep the Giants.
I don't think that. See, people, and I don't even like the Giants. People are sleeping on the Giants.
I'm a Jackson Dart supporter full time.
Oh, that's crazy.
Bro.
That's crazy.
Okay, don't get me wrong. Shador definitely better.
No, Jackson Dart is,
He's not playing this year, but like, they do got Russ. Russ and Malik Nader is going to be a good duo, but people do sleep on the Giants, so I do take that back.
I ain't even talking about the offense. That defense of line is going to be stupid.
Dex.
Bro. Abdul Carter, Brian Burns.
Bro, yo, chill.
And then the secondary. I think his name is Paulson Adebo.
Yeah.
He's a dog.
They got Javon Holland.
Javon, bro.
They drafted somebody. And they drafted Cam Scadaboo.
He ain't putting him.
He kind of cool.
People keep saying, I don't think the Giants are going to be a great team. I think they're probably going to go around 7-10. But that defense is going to keep them in a lot of games. That's why I say we probably split with at least every team in the division. Everybody. It's going to be a bloodbath in our division.
I think we lose. I feel like I want it to be win at home, lose away.
Yeah.
I think we definitely – I feel like with Philly, we always win. Nah, but this year we won at home. I don't know. Philly, you never know. But either way, 3-3 off of that. Well, let's just say 3-3 there. 4-3 off the Miami game. Let's look at the home games first. So the Broncos. Oh, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, that's
cool. Oh, man. The propaganda there between Jaden versus Bo. Jaden. Give me Jaden.
That's going to be a close game. Jaden. I'm going to take our guys, too. I'm going to take our guys.
I don't remember who they got. Wait, they did draft somebody to go along Pat Surtain.
Dude from –
The dude from Texas.
Yeah, Jahdae Barron. Yeah, he's a dog. Nice. He's good. He's good. Yeah,
that's gonna be one on Terry, one on Debo. That's nice. I'm still taking us.
Yeah, Bo Nix in the offense. Yeah, I think that might be like a very high scoring game. But yeah, I think we come out on top of that game. I'm not too worried about the Broncos.
Yeah, I don't know why that joint is blinking. Better not turn off. We gotta run through this, I guess. All right, Lions. I think they might have us.
I think, was that game, is that home?
Yeah.
Is
it? Actually, no, I'm going to take us. Only because it's home.
Lions got us this year. I think they're going to be very spiteful from that game, the divisional game last year. I don't know when we're going to play them, but if we play them early on in the season, I definitely think they got us. But coming back with that full healthy defense, Aiden Hutchinson, all the other guys that got injured last year.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna be a close game, but I think they probably gonna have our number this year.
Yeah, so right now we said we split the division 3-3, beat Miami 4-3, beat Chicago 5-3, beat Denver 6-3, lose to Detroit 6-4, not at the Raiders. I think we win.
Oh yeah,
I think Ashton GT goes for like 150 against us. Maybe
who started that quarterback?
Gino.
I do have Gino.
Gino serviceable, and they got Pete Carroll, and they got Brock Bowers.
All right, let me not speak to her. Okay, we still gonna beat them.
I got the dub, but it's like they gonna put a little offense on us. But like, who gonna guard Terry? Who gonna guard Debo? Who gonna guard Jaden?
Yeah.
So that's that. Last home game we didn't cover Seattle.
Who started in Seattle?
Sam Darnold. See, that's going to be interesting because he had a little nice year in Minnesota. Like, is he going to do that again in Seattle?
Nah, we be in Seattle.
He got Kupp and JSN, so it's like,
I keep forgetting. They got Kenneth Walker.
Defense, they got a nice little DB room.
Our defense going to be nice.
Yeah, they got a good defense.
That's a sleeper team right there.
Yeah, it is. It all depends on Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Like, all these teams, okay, not all these, but that's a big quarterback dependent team right there.
Yeah.
Without a good quarterback, like, that team is probably third in the division.
Yeah, I still think we beat them.
All right. Road games. We got the Falcons.
Dub.
That's going to be hard.
Dub. We're beating the Falcons. Bro,
Michael Penix almost had us.
We're beating the Falcons.
I think we beat them, but that's hard.
We're beating the Falcons.
All right. So we're at 8-4. Beating the Falcons. On to the Packers.
We're beating the Packers.
We're beating the Packers. 9-4. I'm curious to see what happens, though. I just remember last year, Jordan Love. I'm pretty sure Jordan Love threw a pick, like, every game.
Yeah.
My biggest thing is the wide receiver one and their cornerback, because Jair might, well, I was going to say he might mess around and be a commander, but it's too late for that. Jair might be out of there, so. Hey, Terry.
Field day.
Boy, he can't guard Terry.
Excuse me. If
Taylor Heineke can have Terry cooking Jair, then what do you think Jan going to do with it? So yeah, that's a dub. Who's next? 9-4. Chiefs. Dub. Oh, I'm claiming dub. It's gonna be a hard fight. For one, it depends on what Travis Kelce does. Two, those DBs are nice.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, the Chiefs just have some like dark magic, especially on primetime games. I feel like every time I watch the Chiefs, they just always.
Yeah, it's that Arrowhead.
Just finding some dumb way to win.
This is like the current GOAT versus the new prospect. Yeah, so big storyline there, but
I don't think we'd beat Mahomes.
I think this would be our Bengals game from last year. Because it was like Joe Burrow, MVP candidate, even though it was week two or three.
Mm-hmm.
Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. Like, if anything, that's a harder matchup than this one. Well, nah, their defense wasn't that good.
Yeah.
But this is going to be one of the big storylines. I think that's our Bengals game of this year.
Yeah.
So I got us at 10-4.
10-4. Okay. Right.
Chargers, I ain't going to lie. I think I got the Chargers beating us. Only because I think Jim Harbaugh is just.
Nah.
I feel like Jim Harbaugh is going to figure Jaden out.
They're going to have a really good run game. I mean, of course, Herbert's going to air the ball out. But I don't think their defense is going to be too crazy.
I don't know if they got on defense. Joey Bosa gone, ain't he?
Bosa and Mac.
Went to the Bills. Bosa went to the Bills. I don't remember where Mac went.
I forgot.
I think Mac resigned.
I don't think they have anybody too significant on defense. I'm just more, I'll be more worried about stopping the run game and that offense. For I think that game will probably be a shootout, but I do think we win that game. I think we have the better overall team. But yeah, it should be close. But we'll be in the Chargers. We'll be in the Chargers.
I can't see any blowout games on this schedule like we did last year.
Yeah, it's no
team. I think these are probably going to be all hard fought games, like maybe one score games.
Yeah.
That would be a little concerning, but win is a win.
Yeah.
So that's 11-4. And then last game is the Vikings. And
who beat the Vikings?
I hope so. My only thing is, what's his face?
Justin Jefferson?
Yes, dog.
No. I'm not going to say I'm not worried about Jefferson, but I mean, I'm a huge Michigan fan, like I said earlier. I mean, this probably going to be McCarthy's first full year starting. It just all depends on what he looks like. I mean,
yeah.
He was great in college. You know, people love to call him a handoff merchant, but if you actually watch the games that he played in when the running game wasn't working, like, he had to throw the ball. Like, go back and watch that playoff game against Bama. Like, he was throwing dimes. But it depends on what he looks like. I think, yeah, like I was saying, I think J.J. McCarthy depends on what he looks like. I think he'll have a pretty solid, this is technically his rookie season, it's his first full year starting. I think he'll have a pretty good season, but I don't think it'll be enough to beat us, per se. I trust our D.C., even though we don't have the most star power on our front seven, I do think the secondary is going to be great. But, yeah, I don't see the Vikings beating us.
Yeah. So the camera cut out. We don't know at what point it did. So that was the last game of the schedule we covered. So real quick, let me just give a little rundown of what we said. And if anything, in another episode, we'll go over the actual schedule when we get it. So we said within the division against the Cowboys, Giants, and Eagles.
3-3.
3-3.
Split.
The game in Spain against Miami, win 4-3. Home against Chicago, win 5-3. Broncos at home, win 6-3. Lions, we said lose, right?
Yeah, we're not being
Lions lose the Lions. My trip in 6-4.
6-4.
Yeah, 6-4.
6-4.
Raiders 7-4 at home. Seahawks at home 8-4.
8-4.
And all the rest of the games we have winning. Falcons on the road 9-4. Packers 10-4. Chiefs 11-4. Chargers 12-4. I guess I miscounted the first time, but Vikings win 13-4. Yep. So. What's that? One game improvement from last year? We went 12-5.
Yeah.
One game improvement. Obviously, we won't know where we stand in the division or the playoff picture by then, but obviously, we would hope this is a record that gets us in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Speaking truthfully, I mean, the schedule's not out yet, but I think 13-4 is probably like the ceiling, and I would say maybe like 10-7 is like the floor.
We would hope we don't get there.
Yeah, but I mean, the schedule's not out yet. We don't know when these games are. We know a few games are going to be. I think the Madrid game is in November. The Dolphins. It wasn't. We got the Cowboys on Christmas.
Philly, December 20th.
So,
I think the Philly and Dallas game. Those might be the two games we lose.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what happened last time because remember, it's like a rotation of the Texans, Ravens, Steelers, and one other team, I think, like of that 3-day, it was like a three game span of that close rotation.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it'll be these three, the Cowboys, Eagles, Commanders, and then like two other teams. I think we dropped those games. I'm pretty sure the Ravens handled it well, if I remember right, but
yeah,
won't be surprised if those are the two games we dropped when we split the division.
Yeah, I don't like having all those back-to-back division games that late in the season.
And it's not healthy at all.
That just gets critical.
But yeah, like you're asking for CTE on these players.
Man.
You're asking for some sort of crucial injury.
But this concludes the
first
Take a Man first episode. Stay tuned for more updates.
See y'all next time.
Peace.